Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to catch up with Eric Gallagher, who directs the Youth Discipleship and Evangelization and the Youth Activities for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. There's so much planning that goes on. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes look this morning at some of the work that they do and why they do it as they prepare for all of the events coming up in 2018. So stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Melinda North with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radio with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh, and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city, and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat, mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from the past week, here's Gene Young from the Bishop's Bulletin.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, O'Gorman High School students in Sioux Falls recently lent a very significant hand to the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House and its guests. Students and staff at O'Gorman High School spent weeks gathering items to stuff hundreds of packages for the guests of the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. The students and staff filled the packages with basic essentials such as shampoo, conditioner, soaps, razors, toothbrushes and toothpaste, washcloths, as well as socks, hats, gloves, scarves, toys for the children, and other small gifts for the teens who call the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House home. The students also wrapped and filled other large boxes with food and other necessities that the Bishop Dudley House needs to take care of its guests. Those items included kitchen supplies, toilet paper, paper towels, tissues, bedding, towels, and more. The needs of the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House are ongoing. To make a donation, to volunteer, or to learn more about the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House and its work, go to bdhh.org. You can also read and see more about the students' efforts in the January edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Pope Francis challenged young Chileans, telling them to always ask themselves, "What would Christ do in my place?" At school, at university, when outdoors, when at home, among friends, at work, when taunted, "What would Christ do in my place?" he told thousands of young people who came from all over Latin America and Chile to a youth rally at Santiago's Mayupu Stadium Shrine. "When you go dancing, when you are playing or watching sports, what would Christ do in my place? He is the password, the power source that charges and changes our hearts, ignites our faith, and makes our eyes sparkle." Pope Francis told young people they are the protagonists who will change the church, and the young people responded. Throughout the service, they frequently shouted, "This is the Pope's young people." He spoke of the inspiration of St. Alberto Hurtado, founder of the Hogar de Cristo movement, which provides vocational training and other services for young people. The saint had a golden rule, a rule for setting his heart ablaze with the fire that keeps joy alive. For Jesus is that fire. Everyone who draws near to it is set ablaze. Hurtado's password was quite simple. "If your phones are turned on, I'd like you to key this in." He asks, "What would Christ do in my place?" The annual poll of American views on abortion sponsored by the Knights of Columbus indicates that more than three-fourths continue to want significant restrictions on abortion access, even though a slim majority describe themselves as pro-choice. The poll, conducted by the Marist Institute for Public Opinion, surveyed over 1,200 adults in December and another 1,300 adults earlier this month. 76% indicated support for significant limits, with 92% of those who felt that way identifying as Republicans and 61% as Democrats. 51% of respondents overall called themselves pro-choice. I think what you're seeing, what you see that's encouraging, is that this is not, strictly speaking, a partisan issue, said Andrew Walther, vice president of communications for the Knights of Columbus, at a news conference this past week. "The labels pro-choice and pro-life don't quite tell the story. Policy change," he observed, "could be done with the support of three-quarters of the American people." White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced at her daily press briefing this week that President Donald Trump was to become the first president to address the March for Life live from the White House Rose Garden via satellite this week. The annual pro-life event marks the Supreme Court's 1973 decision in the Roe v. Wade case and its companion case, Doe v. Bolton, that legalized abortion. "Love saves lives" is the theme, and was the theme, for this year's march. Since his first day in office, President Trump has remained steadfast on his campaign promises to the pro-life cause and has actively worked to protect the unborn. "We welcome our 45th President, Donald Trump, to the 45th annual March for Life," said Gene Mancini, president of March for Life. "Over the past year, the Trump administration has significantly advanced pro-life policy, and it is with great confidence that under his leadership, we expect to see other pro-life achievements in the years to come," Mancini said in a statement. In a message of support for the March for Life in Washington, a Vatican official praised the tens of thousands of participants for their witness to the value of every human life and for upholding the dignity of life from conception to natural death. "You give witness to the world of your understanding of the value of every human life and of your commitment to welcome, nurture, protect, and integrate every human life from the first moment of conception until natural death," said Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia, president of the Pontifical Academy for Life. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young, reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks to you for that. Let's move on to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by Eric Gallagher, who directs youth discipleship and evangelization and all of the things that surround that. There are a lot of things, and people probably don't even quite realize all of them. We're going to talk with Eric this morning about a lot of the things that go on in this office, but primarily, Eric, as I told you, what I really want to do is kind of pull back the curtain and look behind the scenes, because all of these things that your office is involved with, the Totus Tuus, going deeper, the confirmation retreats, decamps, rallies, all of these things that get done take a lot of work, and people don't realize what happens behind the scenes. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have so many events, and those take, there's a cycle in a sense to these. And we, Rebecca Eckern and I actually, we've been striving to be on an 18-month calendar. So when we're getting ready for an event this weekend or something, we're planning for something that's 18 months out as well. So yeah. Luckily I have her because I couldn't do it.
Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it? And I told you what inspired me to even want to do this program partly was seeing you and your group of people that often sit with you to try to figure this stuff out. Again, I don't think people quite probably know or can appreciate what's all involved with getting ready for some of this. So maybe we'll walk through a little bit of each of these events, and it gives us a chance to talk about the event, certainly kind of off-season, if you will, but it also plants maybe in people's minds, I should get that on my calendar, at least as much as we're able to at this point. But let's start with Totus Tuus, because Totus Tuus is one of those programs that I think a lot of our parishes certainly use And maybe by this point, because it's been around now quite a long time, maybe they even take a little bit for granted. But that doesn't just happen. There's a lot to getting ready for the Totus Tuus season.
Yeah, we, in the past few years, since I've been here, we went from, I think we were at four teams when I first started, and now we were up to seven last year. We're going to have six this year. And so even just in that, finding 28 college students who are willing to give a whole summer, and one obviously one of the biggest challenges is if they want to do something that's missionary in nature or want to give of their time, like committing a whole summer versus a week or two for a mission trip. I mean, the ones who do Totus Tuus are usually very committed and feel called. But there is, I think one of the greatest shifts that I've seen in parishes who have had Totus Tuus for many years have seen this is because of the activity in our Newman centers, we've been able to hire our missionaries more locally. Mm-hmm. And actually last year we only hired one out of the 28. That was a person who, a young lady that wasn't from our diocese originally or wasn't going to a university in our diocese.
Yeah, and so, that's like almost a complete flip, isn't it, from where you started?
Yeah, and I would say when I first started it, I just don't know if the applicants would have been there. But like I said, the life that's flowing from these Newman centers, it causes a unique partnership between our office and the Newman centers around the youth office. So I don't typically work with the Newman centers in that regard, but to have that relationship with them and the focus missionaries, I think is so important. But there's so many great things happening in our diocese that it actually makes it a lot easier for us to recruit because God is very active in doing many things.
I want to tee up something that I hope people will pay attention to, and that is the February Bishop's Bulletin is going to talk a lot about the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal and all of the different things that it supports. But it really focuses on a family and kind of their experience of the faith in our diocese. And a lot of it has to do with Newman Centers. A lot of it has to do with activities coming from the Discipleship and Evangelization Office, particularly on the youth side. It's really interesting to see the dynamics and how one flows into the other and supports the other and in a sense helps people grow from the time that they're young, maybe attending a Totus Tuus at a parish and being ministered to by these college kids that you're talking about, to then becoming Totus Tuus participants, doing the missionary work themselves. And we actually have that now where that has happened, which I think is remarkable.
Yeah, we get many, many of our Totus Tuus teachers right now. That's like, as far as can you do the work? Well, some of these brand new Totus Tuus missionaries could do it in their sleep because they've been watching it for the past 12 years.
Yeah.
And they've met so many college students who are on fire for their faith. And they, for a long time, just that little glimpse, 1 week of summer, just to see a 20-year-old college student on fire for the Lord. I mean, with college being a reality, many of these small towns don't know what a 20-year-old Catholic looks like,
except not very often
at Christmas and Easter. So they do see it. It gives them hope because then they can move forward in faith in high school, knowing that if I strive to live out my faith now in high school, it is possible to continue that. So if I'm going to set lifelong goals in my life, in a sense, if we were just to kind of strip away the spiritual dimension of it even, it just seems possible when there's someone who's 20 years old is doing it. And so they can start working on that at an earlier age because they see the witness.
And one of the comments I heard recently was the power there is in the fact that it's both men and women, that there are witnesses for both, you know, the young boys and the young girls in these parishes when the Totus Tuus teams come, that really does make a difference.
And these young men who are a young college male who applies for Totus Tuus, like just the nature of the job of I'm going to go and teach kids who are rowdy and crazy. And many of them are not education majors. They're not going into elementary ed. They are, a lot of them are ag majors or medical degrees in some regard. And so they just want to give themselves to the Lord. And that is, I mean, the reality of Totus Tuus. And I think one of the biggest reasons that we have it in our diocese is because primarily it's a faith formation opportunity for college students.
Yeah.
And it's an intensive formation in the faith for them. So many of these college students, they are not necessarily gifted in teaching young people, but I would rather have them as these, someone who has received the gospel and can give witness to it than someone who's a crafted, skilled teacher.
Yeah.
And that's where it's tough is they're usually not applying because they think they have what it takes to teach kids or to go on the road for a summer. They're teaching because God has called them. and they usually apply humbly and comparing themselves to Totus Tuus teachers that they've experienced in their life. So they, I can't believe I would even, like many times I hear, I can't even believe I'm considering being a teacher that I've looked up to in so many years, for the past so many years.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So let's pull the curtain back, as we said we're going to do. What's happening right now with Totus Tuus? Are you in the midst of looking for who's going to do the job this summer?
Yeah, so right now we're in recruiting hiring season. The applications are due in February. So I actually, I spend a couple of weeks where I go travel to the different Newman centers. And you know, so I'll go to 5 different places this year, going to each of the different Newman centers, as well as going to DSU and then down to Mount Marty. Just trying to offer this as an opportunity, and usually I'll buy them a meal and just share with them what the opportunity is. And I don't know, for the last 5 or 6 years, that's been enough to draw them in, as like I said, as well as the recruiting efforts of the chaplains and the focus missionaries. It's helpful.
And I think Totus Tuus is another place where the intersection of missionary discipleship and catechesis actually happens. So I know some folks are concerned when they hear about missionary discipleship that maybe we're forgetting about religious ed, if you will, or catechesis, but that's not true, and certainly Totus Tuus proves that.
Yeah, at Totus Tuus each year, they have a curriculum, and they essentially take a college course for a whole week before they even get out onto the road on a specific topic. And so it might be on salvation history, it might be on prayer. Like over the 4 years, we go through the catechism, and then we add a couple more years in there. But they are... Catechesis, when they're open and disposed to receive it, they can retain it well. And so not only do they get a whole week of being catechized very formally and very intellectually, but they get a whole summer to go and teach it and share it and kind of wrestle with it as well.
Yeah, makes it very real for them, doesn't it?
Yes, very much.
That's great. And do you have that theme set for this coming year? Do we know what it is yet? It maybe it's too early.
Yeah, I do know what it is. Like, I don't have it on hand.
That's all right. Well, we got to leave something for people to learn.
Yes.
Later on, and that's okay.
Coming to a parish near you.
How about the Going Deeper retreats? Because I know that's been such an interesting addition over the last few years that you've added. And I know what you've told me before is it kind of fills the gap, doesn't it, between some of the other events and those that then want to be able to do something back in their home parish but don't quite know how.
One of the biggest struggles for our parish program leaders and our priests is a lot of times there's just one or two youth in the parish that are really hungry for more. And so they're questioning, well, how do we can't totally adjust youth group or religious ed because there's just one or two of you. So my hope has kind of been that a parish would be able to do that more and more, but I realize how big of a struggle it is for some of these parishes. So it really started with going to these D camps and realizing we're sending these kids home, but there wasn't much programmatically for them. And so they now, our goal with these Going Deeper retreats is to teach them discernment, prayer, but most especially the target is to be able to send them home and to wrestle with being a Christian and living out their vocation in their ordinary life. So we're teaching them a lot of St. Ignatius, St. Francis de Sales. They learn many different types of prayer, and much of the retreat is based on silence. But the biggest element, I think, that attracts the youth is there's a mentorship within these retreats. We don't do small groups, but they get to meet with an adult throughout the weekend and just share what their struggles of living out their vocation are. And then I get to work with these adults and kind of helping them learn how to mentor these young people in the faith. So they get some very real instruction specifically geared towards them. And they're small retreats, but it's right up the alley of those kids. Like, they're coming because they're tired of failing in a sense. Like, they just feel like I go to D camp every year and I want to do it right. And I don't want to go after D camp and just fail again.
How do you find the kids that might be in a position to be ready for something like Going Deeper?
A lot of it for us is looking at D camp. There's always the kids who tend to stand out. The small groups at D camp draw out those kids, I think, who are very excited. Totus Tuus as well. They're in the parishes, and most parishes, the Totus Tuus program isn't required in any way. Mm-hmm. And so you might only get 5 or 6 of the high school youth to come, but those 5 or 6 high school youth are usually the ones who are there for a reason and they're looking for something. So that often becomes a recruitment, but also in any way that when we market towards the parishes, the way we get most of our information out is to our parish DREs and sure. pastors. And so we just continue to say, if you have a young person who's looking for more, who's wanting to grow in their prayer, grow in their ability to discern God's will, this is for them. So we really try to be very intentional in saying, if you know someone, like we don't want you to just go and recruit and get as many kids as possible.
Right. It's not a numbers thing.
No, if you have a kid who wants this, we have it for them.
And when, what happens to these kids, have you found now that you've been doing this for a few years, when they get back home, are they able to kind of in a sense, become better missionary disciples themselves? Do they end up kind of spreading it a little bit?
Yeah, there's a calmness that they leave with where I think we move from people who complain about the reality and are unwilling to kind of accept some of the things around us. And we move towards a greater heart of love and generosity. And so they're able to kind of go back into situations where they used to struggle and grow angry. And they hopefully, and through their prayer and over time, have received this gentleness, this love for others. And that does change them. And it is, I think, our strategy of discipleship, because even I can think of a gal in Parkston. I was in a meeting a long time. It was a few months ago, but a parish brought me in saying, we need help. Mm-hmm. And in the context of the meeting, what struck me is they said, well, I know it's my niece from Parkston. What she has, I think we need here. And it's just this little, but she continued to point to, when I asked her about this, she said, well, she kept pointing to the Going Deeper retreats. So I can see even how the little impact of investing in this one individual, this parish is 3 hours away from Parkston, but wow. Somehow the gospel is spreading throughout the diocese by spending time with the few, which has been our vision of discipleship for some time.
For those that aren't as familiar with some of these things that we're talking about, or with really even the aspect or the idea of missionary discipleship, I think the little vignettes that you can share with us help people to begin to see what power that it has. So just what you're saying about, gosh, a parish that's 3 hours away is impacted by what one person did because they went to the retreat.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest shifts that I'm striving to make in how I speak, because I know it's a tendency for everyone, for most people, I should say, is we tend to focus our strategies and our visions on programs and things like that. And when we kind of move those things aside and begin to write names down and situations and stories, then our hearts are moved in a way that helps us give more of ourselves, but to see things a little bit more clearly. And I can just tell stories upon stories of young people in this diocese where knowing that God is doing something in them and then trying to keep the door open for them to keep going. Yeah. And that's, especially for young people, the struggle is, I believe many of them have been like captured in this way, like God has grabbed them in some way, and they want to follow him. They've been invited into discipleship, but they just struggle knowing what's next. Now it's not just a young person problem.
Yeah, it's not.
Adults especially.
Yeah.
But even that, well, what's the answer? Well, it's discipleship. I mean, we have to remain close to the Lord, but for many people, I just think we lack the clarity. And, well, what does it actually mean? And we often just think, well, it should be easier.
Yeah, but that's not the cross.
Correct. Yeah, our young people need to hear that more and more. They need to know what separates them from the people who go to daily mass every day and just have this peace. Like, that's what they want. They just want this peace in their life. They don't necessarily want to go and fix everything or change the whole world. They just want to be a witness of love.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's still the need for the bigger events, isn't there? Because that's how you first kind of catch the attention.
Yeah, and a lot of our bigger events are focused on just engaging people. And so the DCAMPs and the youth conference are the classic staple go-to things. If you want a bigger one-day event, you go to the youth conference. And those they're great events. God does awesome things through them. But our excitement about events definitely flows with the smaller things, because we can see people more. There's not 2,000 people in a room. There's just 20 or 30. And so these bigger events are definitely intended to be a bridge into the more intimate settings. And I like the bigger events because it provides opportunities for a lot of our parishes. I think of the youth conference. I would, as a youth minister, I would just look forward to the car ride
right.
back and forth to the youth conference. The youth conference can be good or bad, doesn't matter. I just wanted to hang out with these young people and get to know them more.
Yeah, yeah.
And hear what's on their iPods or whatever.
Yeah, what's going on in their lives and their hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, again, with the theme of pulling back the curtain, is that, are you working on that kind of stuff already this time of year too?
Yeah. So right now just a couple of weeks ago, we were finalizing the speakers for our youth rallies next year.
Are we going to break news here today?
We have No, we won't yet.
Because I always try to do
contracts
that.
Aren't signed yet. So.
Okay, but you're working on it.
Yes, and then the same with decamps. Like right now, it is like we're lining up staff. We have interns. We have to hire cooks. We have to hire things. All those types of things. Those are all things in the works right now. And all that stuff is, little by little, we kind of chip away at it. And I tend to just allow things to kind of happen. So when we're looking for somebody's staff, a lot of times God just simply provides. And then usually we hit a moment, maybe in a month or two, or if it hasn't been provided yet, we start
then we panic.
Panicking a little.
You got plenty of time to panic later.
But it's interesting because we have two or three weeks until the Going Deeper retreat, but we also... we're focused very heavily on decamp and Totus Tuus right now. So it's timing is very interesting in our world.
So we've talked about a lot of different events and things, programs that go on, not programs, trying to stay away from the word program, but the work of the Discipleship and Evangelization Group. To find out specifics, is the website the best place?
Yes. Definitely, okay. You can give us a call anytime if you have questions about it as well, I mean, especially as we talk about individuals, if you have specific situations. I mean, we're equipped, I think, to guide people wherever they're at. But you can go to sfcatholic.org/youth, and we have all of our events and things there as well.
So you can get a look at the calendar, the dates that we haven't talked about dates, all that stuff you can find on the website. But I appreciate your offer to our parishes and to individuals. If there's someone in particular you want to talk about, probably a phone call is better.
Yeah, and typically I'm happy to come out and visit and offer any counsel advice. I love seeing the faces of the youth because then I can give better inputs. It changes my own thoughts.
You're still a parish youth minister at heart,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, very
still,
much so.
You miss that. You miss that direct contract. I know you do. So, Eric, thanks so much. Great to hear about some of this stuff and kind of the thought process that goes behind it. I think it's helpful to people to hear that.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Well, Gene, you mentioned the March for Life. Of course, we've had, I think, something around 100 pilgrims from the Diocese of Sioux
Falls. We had two buses go this year for the second or third year in a row, and that's always a great event. We hear from them along the road, and they're presumably on their way back, and we're praying for them that they had a good experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So Monday, the 22nd, of course, the actual day that it's observed, the remembrance of the decision on Roe v. Wade.
A lot of parishes will be doing things, featuring it in their liturgies and celebrating, and not celebrating, but praying for the cause of life.
Yeah, Bishop Swain will be celebrating the noon mass at Cathedral on the 22nd. If folks want to attend that, they're certainly welcome to do so as a way to add their voice to that prayer.
And liturgy are always great things.
Yeah, absolutely so. So a couple things on the horizon. CFSA campaign is coming up soon, and Lent, of course, is coming up soon. First, we have Catholic Schools Week, but keep tuned to all these things that will be coming up. That's our time for Catholic Views. We'll be back next Sunday.